Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code KATE.
Hi, guys. It's Kate. Listen, there's something I want to tell you about. This is called MyLibertyProject.org, MyLibertyProject.org. And what I'm doing here is we have a new sponsor coming on to the show. And the sponsor is going to come on in a few weeks, be added in a few weeks. But next week, we're going to do a Zoom call. It's going to be in the evening. It's going to be on next Wednesday night, which is June the 7th, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern. And this will be a big, huge Zoom call. I'm interested in having a team of people that want to help, maybe even wanting to do some remote work from home if that's what you're looking for. We're looking for two things. People that want to have like a little side hustle, underemployed, unemployed, whatever. You want a little side hustle. You want to decide if you want to do a couple of hours a day or a week or whatever. Okay, so looking for those individuals. And then also patriots of this country, concerned citizens who want to do something, but they don't know how to help this country right now. And this, what you'll be doing is you'll be talking to other red-pilled patriots just like you and teaching them how to dismantle these woke corporations who are running our country and show people how we can defund them. So this is getting the dollars out of China and basically stopping these woke corporations together. It's a really big idea. This is going to be huge. And please register, be on the call with me. It's a big deal. There's not too many ideas like this out there, and I'm really excited about this. If we can get a lot of people doing this, this will be so amazing for our country. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't know what to do, right? And a lot of people hurting right now financially. So I thought, hey, okay, this is two really cool things that can be happening right now, which I love. So go to mylibertyproject.org, okay? Put in your info, and I will send you a link. And to this call, this amazing call that's happening June the 7th, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Mountain. And I think hopefully we'll send you out a reminder too. And we'll explain the whole thing and explain the details. But I'm really excited about this and can't wait to see you there. And I would really like for you to be part of this. Okay? MyLibertyProject.org. Thanks, you guys.
The Kate Daly Show is about to start. Progressive liberals must be accompanied by an adult. Show starts now. The show starts now.
Woke is Marxism, evolved to attack the West. If you don't understand that, you will not act correctly. You will not cure it, and it will conquer your countries. It will conquer all of Europe, and we will have a very, very long, sustainable, and inclusive future with absolutely no freedom. Because the goal is to make us into what they call global citizens. Have you heard this term? This term is nonsense. There's no global sovereign, so there is no global citizenship. There's no relationship because there's no ruler. And we don't want a ruler of the globe. It's a nonsense term. But they tell you, if you actually read their literature, what is a global citizen? It's somebody, I kid you not, they say this themselves, it's somebody who supports the 17 Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations Agenda 2030. That's a global citizen. And they say, what are the rights of a global citizen? This is in a book about global citizenship education published 2 years ago. What are the rights of a global citizen? And the answer, one paragraph later, is we're not that interested in rights with global citizenship. It's more about global responsibilities. In other words, slavery.
Hi there. Love that clip. We have James Lindsay on with us, and I'm so glad that he's joining us. Welcome to the program, James Lindsay. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. Glad to have you. American-born author, mathematician, professional troublemaker. I love that. And Dr. James Lindsay has written 6 books spanning the range of subjects, including religion, philosophy of science, postmodern theory, leading expert on critical race theory, which leads him to reject it completely. I'm in favor of that. Thank you. And founder of New Discourses, currently promoting the book, Cynical Theories, How Activist Scholarship Made Everything About Race, Gender, and Identity, and Why This Harms Everybody, which is translated into many, many languages, too. This would make a great gift for somebody as well. I appreciate you coming on. Did you want to add to that clip? Because I very rarely play a clip of the guest I'm talking about as I come in, but that clip was so worthy to be heard. That do you want to add anything to that clip?
Well, I'm just impressed with how good I sounded. So that's really, you know, it's funny because I normally make jokes and have a more fun presentation, but I realized in Europe, that was at the European Union Parliament, I was speaking, that there's a language barrier, so they didn't get my jokes. So I realized that the night before. So it was very rigid with how I spoke, and it turned out to be a great talk, but the point that I was making is extraordinarily important, which is, in fact, that we have this broad movement to create this false concept of a global citizen. And to, I think that the point is to get people to believe that we're global citizens and that this nonsense term has meaning. And then all of a sudden, you know, later they'll say, well, let's make good on that. Let's put meaning behind it. Let's create the global sovereign. Let's outline what your global responsibilities are. And rights will just fall out the window. And like I said in the clip, what this will end up being is, in fact, global slavery to this machine that they're building, maybe in Davos, maybe in Brussels, maybe in New York, where the United Nations is headquartered.
Oh, amen to that. Let's talk about the Trojan horse. Let's talk about the woke Marxist, because a lot of people do not equate what's happening right now in our culture with the Trojan horse of Marxism. And so you even talk about 3 types of layers, outer school, inner school. Those types
of things. It's a cult. And so a lot of people think, you know, it can't possibly be Marxism or it can't even be this complicated philosophical postmodern theory or critical thing. These kids that are out here, you know, trying to change their gender, they've never read any of that. They've never heard of any of these people. But that's not how this works. The way that this actually works is that there are, a cult has distinct structures. There are people who really know what's going on, and that's the inner circle, and those are going to be our kind of masters at Davos or whatever. They know what the real purposes are. And then there are the people who are inculcated in the theory, the cult doctrine. That's your professors. That's a lot of your activists. And that's like it's not an inner circle, but it's what's called an inner school. They've been taught the cult mysteries. And then you have most of the people in the cult don't even know that they're involved in anything. They think it's what it means to be a good person. That's what it is. Your friends are all doing it, so you have to do this or they won't like you. It's usually social and moral and sometimes professional consequences for not going along with it. And so they copy the behaviors. They copy the mannerisms. They say the words. They learn the magic spells about check your privilege and whatever else. But what they're doing is moving along the agenda of that very small set of elites in the very center of it, in the inner circle, who actually know what's going on. And those people in the cult may or may not be valuable to them later. They may be disposable to them later. And in fact, with communism, it's always that case, that the people who are the activists for them become disposable after the fact.
Absolutely. Who's funding it?
Well, that's a really wonderful question.
Yeah, huge question.
I think we don't know the answer fully to that question. Certainly, if it's a global communist push, which we can agree that it is, it would be stupid to think that the CCP is not involved in funding it. Certainly, you have a large number of participants in this who are very, very wealthy in how it operates. So Bill Gates, we know, is involved in the Davos thing. Larry Fink is involved. These are wealthy men. John Kerry is involved in virtually everything. Very wealthy. The royal family in England is involved. I mean, in fact, now King, but at the time Prince Charles, was the first person to publicly announce the onset of the Great Reset. It didn't come from Klaus Schwab first. It came from, at the time, Prince Charles.
Yes.
And so very wealthy people are behind this, but primarily who's funding it is us. because the majority of how this is being mechanized, not even just through our taxes, which are very much involved, this is actually being mechanized through these ESG scoring requirements to get the corporations, which are the largest repositories of wealth and capital on the planet, of course. Those corporations are being pulled around by ESG, and what's causing them to be pulled around by ESG is our pension money, our long-term investments, our retirements are being leveraged by entities like Larry Fink's BlackRock, the Vanguard Group, these very, very large financial institutions that are managing our money for us by acting as though they are the owners of that money and causing the corporations, whether it's through their corporate boards, whether it's through access to lines of capital or to loans or, you know, short-term liquidity issues. They have many levers of power over the corporations, so they're using our money, an ocean of it, trillions of our dollars, to leverage corporations into bringing us into this brave new world.
So when the corporations are taking the hit, they're not really taking the hit. It's our money circling back and maybe going back to them so that they're not really taking the financial hit that we think they are, but they're able to, you know, they're able to kind of satisfy this score, right? Possible?
Well, they are and they are not. In the short term, they're definitely losing a lot of money, and in the long, medium and long term, they are at risk if they lose their customer base of not surviving.
True.
The model I think that's most fitting is that these big financial firms, again, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street are the biggest three, using all of that huge amount of passive investment capital that they've weaponized through ESG, are essentially playing hunger games with our corporations. We all know how hunger games work.
Yes.
Well, imagine people think, oh, they're going to bring hunger games to individuals and we're going to fight over... No. They're playing hunger games with corporations who are fighting over access to lines of credit and to short-term capital. And so the corporations that play ball the best will be carried along and will end up surviving, and we'll be able to buy out the companies that do worse in big corporate mergers and buyouts as the others falter in the Hunger Games thing, and then they get to become the monopolies on the other side of the other side of the transition.
That's a great way to put it. Talk to me about, I love that. Talk to me about Christian nationalism, the traps that kind of lie ahead.
Yeah, so the thing is that leftism works in a particular way where it would love to just sneak its way under the radar to infiltrate and, you know, be subversive and transform your institutions from within and have no resistance and no pushback. And they'll take everything they can get that way. But they know that eventually that they're going to get exposed, they're going to get seen, and they're not going to be able to be subversive. They're not going to be able to just transform the institutions from within, at which point they're going to have to use other techniques. One technique that they often have to fall back to eventually is force, but they have another one in the chamber, which is to force a reaction. So their strategy, as a matter of fact, if you read, they have a book that's available online for free. It's called Beautiful Trouble. Beautifultrouble.org is their strategy book for how leftists in 2020s do their activism. And they tell you one of their core principles is your real action is your target's reaction. So where they can't, if they say can't get rid of the First Amendment because too many Americans still defend the First Amendment, they'll create a reactionary movement that also hates the First Amendment. So now the left and the right both want to get rid of it, and you can get your majority and overcome the impediment. So Christian nationalism is being provoked to respond to these attacks against religion. These attacks, there's just one in Utah today I saw hit the news where they pulled the Bible out for gratuitous violence and sexual themes.
Right.
This is a clear provocation to get Christians to respond, to get Christians to overreact, the drag queen story hours, the fetish at pride events. They want Christians to respond and react, and in fact overreact, so they can say, hey, look, there's a gigantic domestic extremism problem in this country, and it's coming from our churches. Let's turn the thumbscrews on the churches. Let's investigate the churches. Let's get the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security or something looking into the terrorism threat, the white nationalist terrorism threat that's actually centered in American churches, and go after them. And so they've been baited into reacting in a way that where they become the monster the left needs to justify the crackdown, or if that doesn't work, to do the crackdown themselves in the name of ending the problem.
Jeez. Oh my gosh, what a trap. What would you suggest people do? We're going to be bombarded with Pride Summer and all of these things. And I'm a live and let live kind of gal, but when it's shoved down my throat and there's little kids involved, then I have an issue. So what would you suggest?
We can't live and let live. We cannot just leave this be. And I often get criticized when I say what I just said about the trap. That I'm advocating doing nothing.
Right.
As though
right.
the only options on the table are do absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Or, you know, just accept all of it. Just let it go.
Right.
Or to overreact and get yourself, you know, used as a tool to advance their agenda. There's a ton of ground in between. And I actually advocate for people to think, if you want to think politically, you are already disenfranchised in your country. Just look at the Biden administration, et cetera. On the other hand, if you want to think religiously, Jesus taught to turn the other cheek. You have to make it so that what they're doing is visible and that it looks as bad as it is without giving them a reaction that makes it look necessary. That's their game, is to trap you into reacting so that they say, we have to stand up for our rights because the conservatives are so dangerous to us. We have to stand up for our rights because there's our anti-LGBTQ hate is on the rise. We have to have these pride parades. In fact, if you show completely peacefully, if you publicly demonstrate that you're praying or whatever for these people and make it so that they look like the people who are acting out of line, which they will do. And if you don't take the bait, they will escalate and escalate and escalate until it starts to turn people off. And then if you expose this again and again and again, we are absolutely not taking part in this. We're not taking part in your provocation. And then also for people like yourself who have a platform and you reach people, or, you know, it could be you just talking to your neighbor if you're an everyday person, you should always name the manipulation that they're doing. Look, they're trying to get people to react, and when they react, they're going to want to try to take our rights away.
Right.
So here's what they're doing.
Expose
this is
it.
A trick they're trying to play on us. We have to cut the trust out from under their manipulations.
Thank you so much. I wish we weren't out of time with you. I wish you had more time. NewDiscourses.com. You can go there and get so much more on the writings, the books, everything. NewDiscourses.com. I sure appreciate you, Dr. Lindsay. Really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. KateDalyRadio.com.